Oh, what a privilege to be here. And yes, I do try to be attentive to the Spirit. Sometimes it's not as easy as you might think. I've even had a few folks get a little aggravated at me for it, frustrated. I'd even thought about, since the service has gone thus far as it has, the singing this morning, Brother Randy Webb and then Brother Mike Roberts, I thought about getting Brother Randy and Brother Mike to sing a duet. And then I really kind of felt like that wasn't the Spirit. So, but anyway, I don't know. It might liven things up. It really. Sir? All right. Brother Jimmy Jewell, you want to join them? All right. All right. Well, wasn't that wonderful, wonderful? Oh, my. Wasn't that a wonderful message this morning? Didn't it kind of make you feel saved? All right. Well, it did me. I don't know what it did for y'all, but anyway. Oh, and the preaching last night. I was about as good as my preaching yesterday morning. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. It's sure good to be here at Richlands. Thank you so much for this kind invitation. Thank you so much for your offering. Let's get right into the word of the Lord. Let me take a little poll here real quick, like before you stand. Let's take a poll real quick, like how many of you are here Sunday morning? Raise your hand. You were here Sunday morning. Okay. All right. Okay, hands down. How many of you were not here Sunday morning? Raise your hand. Oh, right. Okay, I think by the poll taken, Hillary should win by 15 percentage points. All right. Well, this is going to seem mighty strange. I don't know that I've ever done this before, ever. But Brother Meadows said something. He said, I think you said to the effect that it's always good to maybe preach something before when you preach it or you come to the camp meeting to preach. Is that what you said? All right. I'm glad you said that. Because early this morning, the Lord helped me do something I've never done before. You're going to look at me strange. Some of you are. Some of you aren't. But the Lord moved upon me early this morning. You preach again this morning what I gave to you to preach Sunday morning. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, or as Brother Moore would say, Psalms. I want to read. Stand with me, in, if you would, for the reading of the word of the Lord. When the Lord, Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And again, calling your attention to verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now, once again, as Brother L.D. Moore would say, J-O-B was Job. Job chapter 42, or Job as we know it. And let's go to verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach to you again this morning on when dreams come true. Raise your hand and ask the Lord to help me this morning again. Father, I only know what you whispered in my ear, Lord, this morning in the early hours. Please help me right now, Lord. And I'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen, hallelujah. Now, for some of you, this is going to seem like just repetition, and in some ways it may be. I may elaborate on some things in a little more detail than what I did Sunday morning. But for some of you, it may come as a shock, some of the things that I'm going to share with you. Because sometimes we have been made to believe that some of the things that I will relate to you this morning don't happen to us. But as I endeavor to preach, I don't want you to forget what you just heard from Brother Darrell Meadows. And some of you are already trying to remember now, what did he say? What did he say? And Brother Darrell, I want you to just stay real, real on ready, because I may need your help in a little while. And I may need you to remind this congregation of what you already said. Amen. And that there are things that are impossible with man, but there is nothing that is impossible with God. And I'm already feeling better up here. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm feeling better. But as we look at the book of Job, now just a little history here, and I'm sure most of you know it, that in terms of the actual date of the writing, the book of Job was probably the first actually written down book of the Old Testament. Now, we know that the book of Genesis records earlier events, but I do believe in a Mosaic authorship to the book of Genesis, but it is believed by many scholars that the actual writing of the book of Job precedes the writing of the book of Genesis. There are even some who suggest that maybe Moses himself was the author of this book. That's really not relevant to this, but the whole theme of the book of Job, the whole subject matter is that we have often had to deal with: why do seemingly bad things happen to good people? And why is it that the righteous suffer? Now, it has led many to come to some very wrong conclusions. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book, you might be familiar with it, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And of course, there is a flawed premise in that, and that is that there is none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I understand and believe that Jesus came, and in his atoning work, he did not only a work of bringing redemption to mankind, but he also brought healing for our body. But it does not eliminate the fact that we are under a curse that will only be removed in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Are you hearing me this morning? And no matter how close to God I may live, or you, should the Lord tarry, every one of you are destined to the graveyard, and nobody here is going to pray you out of it. Because dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. But yet there are times when we must all deal with this seeming dilemma. Why is it that good men and women in whom we have respect and confidence seemingly are beset by trouble and trial? And so, as I said, it has led some to an erroneous conclusion. In his book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, Rabbi Harold Kushner said, basically, the reason why that bad things happen to good people is because God does not know the future. And he really is in a reactionary mode on his lofty throne above. And he is merely in a response mode to what happens to me and you. It was his way of trying to excuse God for the injustices of the Holocaust against the Jewish people. He went on to say in his book, can you be willing to forgive God when you find out that He is not perfect as you have believed Him to be. Well, I don't have that problem, because the God of this Bible, amen, declares from the end, from the beginning, and from ancient time, the things that are yet going to be. And let me fast forward here. When we get down to the latter portion of the book of Job, God basically says to Job, Job, I'm God. I do whatever I please. And Job says, you're God, and you do whatever you please, and I worship you anyway. And if we as a congregation could come to the place that we understand that regardless of our circumstance or our situation, our God is still worthy of our praise, it might make a difference in where you're at right now. Somebody say amen. And so we go through this book, and what a profound book it is. What marvelous things in the book of Job. What marvelous scientific knowledge in the book of Job. It was Job who says that the earth hangs on nothing. Years and years before scientists ever realized that the earth was not flat, but it's suspended there in space, just hanging. If you want to know more about the creation, fast forward from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and go to the latter chapters of the book of Job, and there you'll find much more details of how God did it all. Somebody say amen. And so we often are faced with circumstances. And yes, it is so very true. And how true it was, as Brother Ralston preached to us, Sunday night, too much stuff, too many irons in the fire. I'll never forget, I'm not seeing him here. Brother Cody Harmon came in 1996 to the church where we used to pastor. It turned out to be the most monumental revival in the history of the church, at least when I was there, or we were there. God completely, in 1 week's time, totally changed the direction of the church. But one of the first things he said, Brother Austin, when he came was, he said, God dealt with me to tell you before I came here, too many irons in the fire. Too many irons in the fire. You need to start pulling some irons out of the fire. It had such a monumental impact on a church. How many received the Holy Ghost? What God did in that meeting. I'll never forget, there was a man in the church who had a business. He had his own plumbing business. And there were several of the young guys in the church that worked for him. And after that revival, every morning, Brother Meadows, before they would start out in the day, they would come by the church. He'd bring that crew by the church, and they began to pray. They would pray. They'd spend 30 minutes into an hour before they ever went out on the job. Would you know what happened? The very thing that John Wesley predicted. John Wesley said, true revival will bring economic prosperity, because when men are truly saved, they will become industrious, they will become hardworking, and God will bless their labors, and the economy will prosper. That's exactly what happened. God began to bless that man. But then, the very thing that John Wesley went on to say happened. Wesley went on to say, he said, and then, sadly, the very economic prosperity that was produced by that revival will in turn kill the very revival that brought it, because men will begin to place such an emphasis on their economic prosperity, they will fail to realize the need for revival. Sadly, that man's business began to blossom, and less time did they have to come to the house of God. Sadly, before it was all said and done, that man was backslid. His business was in almost bankruptcy. Amen. Too many things. Too much stuff. But I want to tell you, my friend, there are times when you are trying to live right and do right, and suddenly you find yourself in a situation that is beyond your control. Amen. Now stay with me for just a little while, because I'm feeling the unction of heaven right now. Amen. You see the children of Israel,
They're down in Egypt's bondage. Oh, I'm sorry, I've said they've come out. Now they're down in Babylon. They're down in the land of Babylon. They have been taken captive. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me this morning? They are down in Babylon. Fast and pray as much as you will. Fast and pray. Preach and prophesy. But God said it will be 70 years before you're going back. And you're not going back until those 70 years are fulfilled. Amen. Now you can do one of two things. You can do like many of the others. Amen. The psalmist said, you read it there, where they said to us, sing the Lord's song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And they hung their harps in the willow tree. There were some in the land of Babylon, in that land, who gave up all hope. But you find in that same country, by the river of Chebar, which was in the land of Babylon. Amen. You follow that river as it goes around. While others have hung their harp in the willow, there is a man by the name of Ezekiel who is having visions and revelation from the Lord in the land of Babylon. Are you hearing me? It's not necessarily where you're at, but what you're doing while you're there. Amen. You may be in Babylon this morning. You can hang up your harp and quit, or you can get in touch with the Lord and believe that there is going to come a day that God's going to visit you again.
Pray for me, Sister Hudson. Pray for me. Seventy years. And then you're going to go back home. But until then, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to get you out of that land. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? And as much as we like to think otherwise, there are times that we find ourselves in situations that no matter how hard we pray and no matter how much we fast, seem like we cannot penetrate and get beyond where we're at. Can I preach to you what I preached to you Sunday morning? Can I preach, brother? Is that okay? Because sitting in this building right now are more than one. I preached to you Sunday morning when dreams come true. I had preachers come to me after the service with tears in their eyes saying, that's exactly where I have been for years. Church members sitting on these pews wiping tears from your eyes while I was preaching Sunday morning. One brother came to me from the church here. He said, Brother Tim, I don't know if you saw that elderly lady that came in. I don't even know if she's saved. Maybe she thinks she is. She does not come here. I don't know who she was. I cannot. He said, but I watched that woman while you were preaching. She was wiping tears away from her eyes. They sat there in the land of captivity, dreaming of bygone days, dreaming of the land of Israel and dreaming of the land of Judah. But somehow it was nothing but a dream. And there's why some of you are sitting here today. You remember I told you, there's some of you sitting here today. It's all like a dream. You've been so long where you are at right now in what seems to be your land of captivity that you cannot get free of it and get beyond it. And no matter how hard you try, it seemed like you're just merely going through the... And so I've deviated, Brother Austin, Sunday morning. And I got very personal with this congregation. And I'm going to do the very same thing again this morning. Because some of you were not here and you're listening very intently. You asked me this morning, Brother Randy, I heard you've been sick. Yes, I had been very sick. Can I tell you the story? The last 2.5 years have been the most awful 2.5 years that I have experienced in a long, long time. Spiritually, I don't know how to describe what happened to me. But somehow I slipped into a void. After a while, I was like living in a fog. I didn't even know if I was saved, let alone called to preach. Oh, yeah, some of you brethren now already see the wheels are turning in you. Are you going to let me preach to you a little while? I said, I thought it would just be that little short span of time. But days become weeks and weeks become months. And as I continue on, it seems like it's only getting worse. And I find myself more times than one getting in the pulpit and I'm not even sure of my own. Oh, help me right now. Help me right now, Lord, and stand by me. And the amazing thing, Brother Rawson, I'd step out of the pulpit and I'd see God do marvelous things. Pastors would say, you don't know what God did tonight. And I'm staggering out wondering, Lord, how can this thing be? Seemed like in prayer became such a grueling task. Oh, Brother Lord, 15 minutes seemed like hours. And the heavens were brass. Are you hearing me? I said, oh, am I preaching to congregation that doesn't know what I'm talking about? Hours it seemed like, in grueling seemed like I could not hear anything from God. It only gets worse. It only gets worse. And I'm going on and on and on and seem like further down in a path that there is no hope. And I'm like I'm lost in the fog, Brother Randy. And I said in that time that I couldn't hear from the Lord, the devil never shut his big mouth. Never. Day in and day out. Laying on my bed at night, tears streaming down my face. Whoa, God, am I even saved? And that voice of the devil screaming in my ear. You know, you know, you know you failed God. You know this. I'm searching my heart. Are you going to help me preach to you? I'm searching my heart. Amen. And not only that, oh, help me right now. I'm getting ahead of myself here. And so, time goes on. I'm still doing exactly what I'm doing right now. And here I am, stepping behind the pulpit, seeing God move, and feeling so void inside. It only seems to get worse. There were times my sweet, loving wife came to me. Are you hearing me? She said, I'm worried about you. And I said, honey, I'm worried about myself. I said, I can't find God. I said, the only thing I know is when I pray. The only thing, Brother Lowe, I can get is God says, I got you right where I want you. That's all I could hear. And then his voice would go silent. And the devil would come back in. And the devil would say, hear me right now. Can I get an amen, preacher? Have you ever had the devil stand and say to you, and you're going to be the next casualty? I got him. And I'll get you. Hey, man, I'm honest. If there hadn't been a preacher that's heard that, I'm kind of wondering if you called to preach. But I heard that voice, I'll get you. I got him, and I'm standing there shaking, saying, God, where are you at? Lord, I can't seem to find you. Lord, where are you at? And time goes on, and then now I'm going to get real personal right here. Amen. Brother Austin, you preached to us the other night. Oh, are we living? Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. I'm feeling him breathe on me. I'm feeling him breathe on me right now. Amen. There are times in mismanagement, people make a wreck of things. Brother Austin, God is my witness.
witness. We were exhausting every resource we had for the work of the Lord, and we were spiraling into a financial disaster, and I saw no way out of it whatsoever. And I said to my wife, I don't know what we're going to do. Day and night I prayed, God, I'm trying to do your work. I'm investing everything. Don't fall out with me right now, friend. If you got it, fine. I said, Lord, I do not have houses and land. I've got the house I live in, and that's not even paid for at this time. I have no other properties. I don't have hunting equipment. I don't have fishing equipment. I've invested everything I've got in the work of the Lord, and I'm sinking deeper and deeper, and it looked like everything is falling apart. And that's not the bad thing. In the middle of it all, I can't find God anywhere. I looked to my right, and he's not there. And I looked to my left, and I couldn't find him. He was nowhere to be found.
I got your attention now, because you can't fathom that a guy like that is preaching this meeting, but he is. The next thing, the first of the year, I thought things are going to get better, and they only got worse. And I found my physical body under an attack as never before. And I could not hardly get one foot in front of the other. And in London, Kentucky, after taking 4 or 5 weeks off and having been to the ER, I've got a daughter that's a nurse. That's a blessing and a curse, because they not only know everything, but they know all the bad. And I was having a problem. And she said to me, basically, you either need to go to the ER or to the funeral home. You make the choice. So I went to the ER, and while I was there, they run all those tests, kept me over. A cardiologist does all of these tests, thinking it's my heart, thinking I'm having a heart attack. And then I come out, and he comes back and said, I got all the results after all the tests are done, and said, your heart's fine. He said, your heart is good. Only encouraging news I'd heard. I left there saying, well, at least I'm a good-hearted guy. That's the only, hey, man, are you going to help me preach to you a little while? Amen. And it just so happened that a few weeks after that, I made a real quick trip to Mexico. And the young man, or the man that's pastoring the church where we used to pastor, I flew down with him to dedicate a church. He told me later, he said, Brother Tim, I knew something was wrong with you. He said, you were just shaking all the time. He said, something was wrong. I didn't know this. I talked to Brother Cody Herman the other day after I preached this Sunday. He was talking to me. He said, when last time he'd seen me, we had lunch with him and Sister Harmon. He said, I knew when I saw you something wasn't right. How do you tell people what's wrong with you when you don't even know yourself? How can you get folks to pray for you when you don't even know where you're at yourself? Come on now. I know some of you have never been there, but some of you not only have, but some of you there right now. I said, some of you are there right now. Are you hearing me? I said, some of you are there right now. Because I know just by the response. Oh, let me move on right now. And so, Brother Rick, here we are. We got a schedule. We don't hardly have time to stop and breathe. How in the world? I can't hardly get one foot in front of another. London, Kentucky. That Sunday afternoon when I preached. 10 minutes, I'm leaning over the pulpit, huffing and puffing. And I'm saying to my wife, honey, something's wrong. And I don't know what it is. I'm fixing to lose you right here. Are you hearing me? I feel the Holy Ghost. If I get out of order, you set me down. But at the time, that I started having my physical difficulties, something was said, and there became aught between me and my wife that had never been there before. You set me down when you feel like it. No, there was nothing improper done, but just a few comments that seemed to be twisted. And I found aught against my own wife. And for the first time in my life, they're listening to me, Brother Lloyd. The first time in my life, I prayed to die. And I begged God to take my life. It was not Elijah under the juniper tree. But I said, God, I've lost the confidence and respect of my own family. And I'd rather die. Thank you, preacher, for the invitation. If you want to cancel out, so let it be. No, sir. I didn't do anything against my wife. She nothing against me. Are you hearing me? We were in Myanmar in June of this year. And I was praying on the other side of the world one morning. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is what He said. He said, I have done to you as I did to Job. I have given you into the hand of the wicked one to test you and to try you. But I would not let him take your life. Suddenly everything looked different than it had before. Are you hearing me right now? I said, are you hearing me right now? I've done lost you. And suddenly, everything looked different. God, why hast thou forsaken? I understand it now. My finances, it all makes sense. My health, it all makes sense. That little friction between me and my wife, it suddenly made sense. They're listening to me. I'm not sure if they're fixing to write me off and ask for their offering, but they're listening to me. Because there's more than one sitting here today that's dealing with the same thing. Brother Austin, when I saw my primary care physician this past week, he was going over everything that some of the other doctors had said. He said, no. No. That's so rare. He said, I'm going to tell you what your problem was, preacher. I said, what? You were having a stress attack. He said, every time you come in here, you tell me you're stressed. You've been here. You've been there. You're taking this course. You're taking that program. You're sitting here with your iPad trying to get airline tickets to the... He said, you're stressed. But what he didn't realize, Brother Randy, that it was not just the Holy Ghost. It was not just a stress attack. But there was a spirit of darkness that was playing with me like a cat does a little mouse that it's caught. Are you hearing me right now? And you're sitting in this building right here today and you cannot figure out why. You cannot figure out why. And we can try to rationalize, explain everything in the world. But I'm telling you, there's a spirit of darkness that's been harassing you. I said there's a spirit of darkness that's been harassing you and been a-playing with you and you didn't even realize. And sometime, I must be honest with you, my spirituality was totally lacking. I could not see it. But all of a sudden, my eyes were open and everything made sense. Pray for me, Sister Hudson. And nothing changed. We got back, Myanmar, Singapore. Flew from Myanmar to Singapore, Singapore, 16-hour nonstop flight from Singapore, Los Angeles, and back. It's a killer. I'm telling you, it's rough. And the older you get, the worse it gets. Do it while you're young. It's rough when you get old. We left out. We got in on July the 4th, late that night. As we flew into Colombia, we watched the fireworks. We watched them from the air. We landed. We left the next week for Verona, Virginia. We left for Verona, Virginia. And when I got to Verona, Virginia, I said, God, I don't know how in the world. We got three camp meetings back to back. I don't know how in the world I'm going to live to make it. Are you hearing me? 1 week is sometimes weary enough, but when you put them back to back week after week after week, it gets a little bit wearisome. Are you hearing me? I preached Tuesday night, the Lord moved. I preached Wednesday night, and I stepped down, and people were saying, oh, I enjoyed that, and inside I'm dying still. But something happened Thursday afternoon while I was in the motel room at the Sleep Inn in Stanton or Staunton, however you want to say it, Virginia. I was in the Sleep Inn on a Thursday afternoon praying. And I absolutely, Brother Rick Simpson, felt like I was smothering. I think I'd prayed 30 minutes. I didn't know how I was going to live. And I'm thinking, God, I cannot make it. And something happened. I don't know how to tell you what happened. But that afternoon, God came to me in that hotel room and my dream came true. I cannot tell you what happened. But all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And when he did, the interpretation was, I am turning your captivity. Oh, I can tell that really makes you feel good. But I said the interpretation was, I am turning your captivity. Are you hearing me? All of a sudden, there was no lightning bolt from heaven. There were no seven sounding trumpets. But all of a sudden, it was like a dark cloud rolled back. I said a dark cloud rolled back. And all of a sudden, things got bright. I saw a brightness. I said, I saw a brightness. I was startled by it. I didn't even know what it was. And then I started feeling a warmth like I had not felt in a long time. And all of a sudden I realized, Brother Meekum, hey, that's sunshine. Hey, that's sunshine. Amen. I am here to preach to you today. By the word of the Lord, I preach to you Sunday morning that the same God that turned my captivity wants to turn yours as well. And you're in this building this morning, and God doesn't want you to leave this camp meeting in the same shape that you came here in. Oh, come on now, somebody help me. I said, somebody help me right now. You have sat in this building, amen, and you have felt the darkness, amen. But I'm telling you, there is a God that is able to roll back the cloud, amen, and bring sunshine into your soul.
All of a sudden, my hand went up. Pray the Lord, church. Raise your hand, church, and ask the Lord to help us right now. I'm telling you, raise your hand, church. Church, worship the Lord right now. Put your hand back up, church. Worship the Lord. Ask the Holy Ghost helps right now.
Pray for me, brother. Pray for me. Lord.
Come here, Brother Darrell. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Ola masi kotara maya shekatara mahola maya dera la mahola ba. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. The Lord is in this place right now. Pastor, you set me down. If I get out of order, you set me down. But the Holy Ghost is in this building. And I am coming here to preach to you today that you're sitting in this building and God is able to turn your captivity today. Come here, brother. The things that are impossible with man are
possible with God.
The things that are impossible with men are possible.
Yes, with God.
There's not one man that's going to turn your captivity. You hear me? There's no preacher. Thank God for every man of God that's here. But there's only one that can turn your captivity. But he is in this building today. And he has come into this building to speak the word and to turn your captivity. I'm telling you, God can cause you to turn and walk out of this building totally different than the way you came in. Would somebody help me right now? Come on, church, pray. I'm trying to feel after the Lord here myself. Pray, church, pray, pray, pray. Sister Hudson, pray. It's going to take divine intervention, but God can turn your captivity, loose you, and let you go free. You hear me? Amen. Does anybody feel the presence of the Lord in this building today? I said, does anybody feel the presence of the Lord here today? Do you really believe that the Lord can speak the word and say, loose him, loose her, and let her go? It could happen in this building, in this service today. I wish I had a church that believe what you're saying, that God would you say, Lord, turn somebody's captivity today.
You be able to take this microphone, you take it.
Could I tell you immediately? I felt strength. I can't hardly sit down now.
Oh God.
I've been preaching, and while I'm preaching, I'm sweating, jumping, running. I'm thinking, God, I never dreamed I'd have strength like I'm feeling now. I'm telling you, God can give you strength back again. Put that back in you. I'm telling you, God can turn it. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, here's what you do. And I'm digging out of that financial crisis. It ain't even bothering me anymore. And if the Lord helps me this week, I'm paying my house off. Glory to God.
Woo!
I was preaching, testifying at the home church a few weeks ago, Brother Randy. And while I was testifying, I heard a commotion. And Brother Mike Roberts, I looked over there, and my wife was shouting and speaking in tongues. And she got up and testified and said, thank God he delivered my husband. He's been a new man. Hallelujah. And for the record, I said, brother, for the record, I feel like I'm on my honeymoon again. Hallelujah. Would you hear me today? Amen. The Lord can turn your captivity. Amen. And make your dream come true. And if I've ever felt the Holy Ghost, I'm feeling him right now. And I know it's lunchtime, but I believe the Lord would like to turn somebody's captivity and set you free, and free indeed. And early this morning, the Lord whispered and said, you say again the things that you said Sunday morning. And you told them Sunday morning that I wanted to do it this week in camp meeting. And you tell them that I said I still want to do it this week in camp meeting. Lord God of heaven, if I ever felt the Holy Ghost, I'll feel him right now. Do you understand? I said, do you understand that God wants to turn your captivity? But you're going to have to look up right now. You know what I think I'd do if I was you? I'd throw up my hand and said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Hallelujah. I wish Sister Connie Harmon was here to sing. Amen. Amen. Joy is going to come in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad God can turn the darkness of the night in the morning right now for somebody. Amen. You can see the light. You can feel the sunshine. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, the Lord. Would you raise your hand, church, and say, Lord. The sad thing is, right here today, are preachers, preachers' wives, who know exactly, but they're afraid to make a move because everybody's going to think they're backslid. And if you think it's been easy for me to get up here and tell you the things that I've told you this morning, it's not been an easy task. But when God, when the Lord delivered that lunatic, exactly, he saw my heart. There wasn't no desire. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. And God saw it. And the Lord delivered that lunatic of Gadara. He said, go and tell the great things of the Lord. And he went throughout all the Decapolis. I sat in the doctor's office where the nurse said, preacher, why are you here? I said, I've had all of these troubles. I said, but I was preaching a meeting in Verona, and the Lord come to me, and I've been better ever since. A doctor came in and said, what's going on, Rev? I said, I had this, that, and other. I said, but doc, I was in Verona, Virginia. I can't explain it to you, but the Lord come to me and he touched me, and I've been like a new man. He said, what do you mean? I could tell he didn't understand it. It didn't bother me whether you do or not. I know what great thing the Lord has done for me, and I know he wants to do the same for you today. I said, the Lord wants to do the same for you. So you tell them so they will know that I too will do the same for them, because with men things are impossible, but
with God, they are possible.
Woo! I want you to walk up and down that aisle. I want you to just look and tell them. I want you to go take a preacher by the hand and just tell him, with God, all things are possible. Brother Rick Simpson, how don't you just float around here? I want you to find a preacher. Take him by the hand and say, with God, all things are possible. Sister Austin, would you slip out of your pew and go find the preacher's wife and take her by the hand and say, with God, all things. Brother Ryan, would you help me out right now? I say, would you help me out right now? Hallelujah. 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 I want you to take this good brother Irvin right here and tell him, with God, all things are possible. Take brother Irvin by the hand right there. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. I said, if I felt the Holy Ghost, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I'm telling you, there are people sitting in this building, standing in this building right now, who have been eating out the palm of my hand, because the whole time their heart's been crying, "That's me, Lord. That's me, Lord." And God said to tell you, yeah. Amen. But just as he tried Job, just as he tried preacher Tim, he's a trying you. Amen. But he's going to bring you forth as full gold, as pure gold. And in a little while, everything, it's going to be different. Pray, church. I said, pray, church. I don't know how to give an altar call right now. Brother Mike, if you know how to give it, come give it. Brother Jimmy Jewel, if you know how to give it, come give it. Amen. If you brothers know how, come give it. But I feel the Holy Ghost. And so, no, it's not sin in your life. It's not that you're backslid. It's simply the fact that God is testing you and trying you. But the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And when he did, he gave him double. These altars are open. I wished I could say I'd done better this morning. But you need to pray right now. I wish some of you lay members would find a place to pray for a preacher or his wife. I'm telling you, I feel a burden for the ministry today. I had a backslidden preacher that just prayed. Tell me as such, I was so stressed by the ministry that I couldn't find a way out. Listen, and he said the devil basically told him there's one sure way out. Go have a fling and an affair and it'll be over. You'll be out. He was, but he didn't anticipate the agony of years of being backslid. Amen. Doing wrong is not your answer. Amen. Just hold on there. God is able to come to you. Come on, church. Could you find a place to pray? Could everybody find a place to pray? Could everybody find a place to pray? Could everybody pray and say, Lord, 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 I'm telling you, God wants to turn your captivity, and he can do it in this meeting.